Father, we thank you and praise you for another great opportunity to sit in your presence to receive the wonderful word that you have for us. We come in great anticipation knowing that you love to speak to us, to instruct us, and to help us in this life that you have given us because you desire to see us come to full fruition and manifest your greatness in the earth so that men's eyes and hearts might be turned to you and recognize you and give you glory and worship you in spirit and in truth. That is our desire, Lord. Continue to guide us and lead us, teach us out of your holy word as we open our hearts to you and turn our hearts back to you, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And as you turn there, I'm going to read our scripture that we are working on. We're looking at actually Psalm 19, 7 and 8. And this is what it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Hallelujah. And we've been drawing from each one of these phrases as we look at the conversion of our souls. That's what we're concerned about in the latter part of this series on the authority of God. The authority of His Word, the authority of His person, the authority of His Word, the authority that He has allowed us all to be subject to in our lives on this planet is all there to help us to know where to turn and what direction to walk and to give ourselves up to Him so that He can have His way in our lives. And so the heart has to be converted. The heart has to be won over to God completely. We make statements like, I love you with all my heart. With all my heart. That's a big statement. And I dare say that we don't know what we're saying when we make that statement. Because to love God with all of our heart, you know, and our soul and our minds, our will and our emotions is one of the commandments. We love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And in order for that to take place, we have to allow God's word to take residence in us. It has to take up residence in us. We have to accept it. We have to be willing to accept it, what he says. And then when he speaks, see, when we recognize that he's speaking to us, then we have to apply that word to our lives. We have to give ourselves up in obedience to what he's saying. And you do that in various ways. There are some things that God could say to you as simple as, walk this way. And you walk in that direction physically, right? And then there's other words that God will speak to you whereby you have to change your mind. You have to change your mind. You have to change the way that you think about whatever it is that God is speaking to you about. When he speaks to you, that settles it. I don't care who spoke to you beforehand. I don't care how much you believed it beforehand. When he speaks to you, that settles it. Right? In 1 minute, Hitler could be slaughtering millions of Jews. This could have happened. And the next minute, he could have given his life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and totally repented. Right? He could have. And then he could have walked into some Western authorities or some other authorities and turned himself in and said, I am absolutely wrong in what I've done. I don't expect that you will ever forgive me. But I've asked the Lord to forgive me. And I believe he has forgiven me. And so therefore, I am cleansed of that filth and that unrighteousness and that sin and that wickedness, that evil that was controlling my life. Now, I'm turning myself over to you and you can do whatever you deem to be just and right. And I'm sure that there would be people that would go, this is a trick. He's just lying. He knows he's going to be brought under charges. I don't believe him. Lock him up. He's going to be hung for everything that he's done. But if the Lord spoke to you and said, he is a repentant man, then you would have to change your mind despite everything that you know about him and what he's done. And you would have to see him in a new light. Now, you can see how difficult that would be for Jewish people and for many Christian people. You can see how difficult that would be for them to be able to hear that from God and change their minds. Change their minds about him and begin to love him. And pray that God would be merciful to him. Imagine in the torment that he will go through in the years to come after he has repented, knowing full well that he has ordered the annihilation of millions of innocent people. Only God could help you to change your mind. Right? All right. Now, there's some things that's going on in your life that is maybe not equal with that, but in an exaggerated point there that I've made, you can see that there are some things that you've come to believe. Have you allowed God to give you his 2 cents on it? Or are you just stubbornly believing and holding fast to it as if you are absolutely 100% right? And if God said something to you about the contrary, he's even wrong. Huh? That's how stubborn we get in the things that we believe. Now, I'm not talking about standing on the word. I'm talking about acquired beliefs, opinions that we have allowed ourselves to formulate in our hearts. And that's what the word of God is given to us for. To cleanse us of our own stubbornness and hardness of heart. That heart has to be converted. There has to be a conversion there. It has to come to a place where it's totally trusting of what God says and totally mistrusting and untrusting what you say. I don't trust my own self. I don't trust my own thoughts. But I do absolutely 100% trust God. See? Now there's a big difference. Because of self-righteousness, we get ourselves in these positions. And there are those in the body of Christ that believe everything that comes to them is spiritual and from God. Everything. Simply because it's spiritual. I mean, Satan is spiritual, folks. Demons are spiritual. And the information that they bring and the thoughts that they bring and the feelings that they incite within a person are spiritual. Amen. It would do us good to stop trying to be so spiritual. Stop trying to be so spiritual. And just trust in the written word of God. Trust it. See, I'm going somewhere with this, because what I want you to see is that we're getting on the latter part of this verse out of Psalm 19 in verse 7 and 8. The latter part of verse 8 says, the commands of the Lord are radiant. They have to become radiant to you. Yeah. They have to become radiant to you like the brightness of the sun. They must become to you. In your estimation of what is right. What is right? You judge people by the way they look at you. I brought out a little bit about this earlier. You judge people by the way they look at you, or you might judge people by something that they have said. My wife can tell you, we've been in the same room, in the same house, and she said something to me, and because of some thought that I had, I heard her say something that she didn't say. And I responded by saying such and such and such and such and such. She said, I did not say that. I said such and such. I said, oh, I heard you wrong. See, are you believing what you believe by the seeing of the eye and by the hearing of the ear and by the feelings of your emotions? Because if you are, you're walking in carnality.
Amen.
A woman can have a certain feeling about a person based on what somebody said about her. Right? Now, see, some women get really offended if you look at them real good.
Yeah.
If you look at them real good, they can get really offended, right? Now, what if someone said, such and such has got the hots for you, right? And just be lying about it because they're trying to start something. People do that, you know. Yeah. And then here you come, you know, down the hallway, and here the lady is, she's walking along. And that guy's really not paying attention to her at all, but maybe he dropped something and he went to pick it up. And then when he looked up, there she goes. And the first thing he sees is her feet. So he just keeps coming up her body and sees her as she's walking by. And she looks and she thinks, that nasty. It's true. Devil. It happens. Right? It happens. But should that lady be so sensitive about somebody looking at her? Should she be?
No.
You see, she's living out of carnality just to have that sensitive spirit about her. Then she's going to have an attitude about everybody that looks at her.
Right?
Right? And when God sends along her Sir Lancelot, she might have that same attitude and mess up what God is trying to bring about. Living out of your flesh. Living out of your emotions and the hearing of your ear and the seeing of your natural eyes. I'm just making a point here. I know you understand that. Amen?
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
You know where I'm coming from. See, I could use many things, but I got to make my point clear. I got to be clear. Because the commands of the Lord are supposed to be radiant to your eyes. Radiant. They're supposed to be like when you go into the Word of God, the radiance is such as this, that illumination and perception is coming so strong from the Word of God, it's like the radiance of the sun to you. Right? And then it says it will give light to the eyes. So, the eyes can function differently from the way that they've been functioning. Huh? David said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon a maid. Now, what was he talking about? You got to see the maid as she cleans up the castle. Make sure she's sweeping right, taking out the trash. What was he talking about? He was talking about using the eyes in a manner whereby it would touch him in his soul, which would create feelings that he shouldn't have for the maid. So the eyes can perform in different ways, can't they? Right? Eyes can receive light. Right? And your eyes can give the appearance of something other than all of the negative things in this world. They can show compassion. They can show concern. They can show interest. Right? They can do that. See? But it'll happen by the Word of God. In order for your eyes to give forth the proper radiance, there's got to be something that you have had happen in your soul. Something has to happen in your soul for you to have the right kind of light in your eyes. People like to look into your eyes. When you really want to know whether a person is genuine or not, what do? You don't look at their scalp. You don't look at their arms. You don't look at their Adam's apple. You look at their eyes. And you tell them if they're really genuine, if they're sincere. You can tell if they're troubled, if they're weary. You look to the eyes. And there should be soundness in our eyes. But it's got to come. See, the eyes is like a television. The screen is only going to bring up whatever channel you turn it to. That's all it can do. It can't decide on its own that it's going to show you something. And that's the way your eyes are. Your eyes can only show what you're in tune with. It's important that our eyes are enlightened. Amen. Our eyes can also, in a very real way, resemble Jesus' eyes. Because everything that Jesus is, he wants to give you. Everything that he was, you know, in his relationship with God, he wants you to have part and parcel of that. And if you've got that, and it can be expressed then through your eyes, just like it was through his eyes, just like it was through his countenance. Didn't Stephen have it as he was being stoned to death? His appearance, his countenance became as an angel and shone with light. Amen? All right, so turn to, you're already in Psalms 119. Look at, and I'm going to pick out a scripture here, and then we're going to go back. And we'll start at the beginning. Look at verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. It says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So the eyes are created by God to be a gateway to your soul. Does the eyes speak? I mean, do they say anything? Their function is seeing. Right? So and when you're born again, what God is saying here is that your eyes are created to behold things in the law of God. In other words, your eyes are connected to your soul. There's a connection there. Your eyes is a primary gateway to your soul. Right? So he says that, open my eyes. Everybody do this. I want everybody to do this. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Now that is different from you opening your eyes to see. That's different. You can open and close your eyes right now, but that's different from what you just prayed. Because your eyes can be open to see wondrous things out of God's law and be shut it physically. So what does that mean? That tells you something else. Your eyes and your hearing are connected to bring light to your soul. Your eyes and your hearing are connected as a gateway to your soul. Now, your natural ears, you can't close them physically. I mean, Alfalfa used to do stuff with his ears, you know, years ago when he was on television and make them do all kinds of stuff. And I got to a place where I could do a little bit of that, but I never could do it like he could. Now, I had a cousin that could. And you all see how foolish that boy looked doing that. But he could do it pretty good. But most of us can't do a thing with our ears except wear them. You know? You can kind of do your eyebrows like that and your ears will move a little bit. You know? But for your ears to perceive, you have to understand that these are just physical pictures of the spiritual that's deep on the inside of you, where you really hear from God. So your eyes are to open to behold wondrous things out of the law of God. Your eyes work with your ears, because you can't see something in the law of God without hearing. You cannot see something in God's word without hearing simultaneously. Think about it. No wonder Jesus demonstrated the power of God. There's something greater than just physical healing of deafness. When you spiritually have your ears open to hear God speak to you, that's greater than being able to hear physically. You're already blessed if you can hear from God, whether you ever heard a tone or a sound in your whole life. See? And if you can see wondrous things out of God's law, if your eyes are open to see that and you're blind as a bat, you're already blessed. Amen. Jesus was making points that lead to the spiritual more than to the physical. It's more important for people to see that God wants you to see physically and to hear physically, so that you can understand that your spiritual hearing and your spiritual seeing is of greater consequence in your life. But he did that to demonstrate God's power. But his desire is that we would see that the real blessing is if you're able to see wondrous things out of his law. If you're able to hear him speak wondrous things to you out of his law. That's what he was pointing to. Because some of those people that got their miracle still went to hell. They lost it. He said, go and sin no more. And some of them went and sinned anyway. So he had to be pointing to something greater than the physical healing. Are you with me? Hallelujah. All right, now, go to verse 1, Psalm 119. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, are the undefiled, the upright, truly sincere, and blameless in the way of the revealed will of God. Ooh, I'm so glad they put a comma there. How are they blessed? They're happy, they're fortunate, and they're to be envied. Are the undefiled, those that are upright and truly sincere and blameless. How? In the way of the revealed will of God. See, many people are going around, you ask them how they're doing, and they say they're blessed because their bills are paid. That's what they're thinking. I've got a job and I'm able to meet my obligations. I'm blessed. Now, that is a part of God's revealed will for our lives. He doesn't want us to be in debt, because he said, you know, that the person that's in debt is in slavery, basically, to the lender. You're in a place of obligation. God doesn't like for his children to be obligated to anybody but him. Amen. Now, that's his will. See? And that's why he's pleased with you and I working toward a debt-free life. Yeah, it's not a sin to be in debt, but he does compare it to slavery. Right? And so his will is, he's pleased if you are working toward being debt-free. Amen. Amen. Work toward being debt-free. Young people, you young people that are born again in here, you don't know how blessed you are. Because you haven't taken any debt on. You're getting ready to enter into your adult life in just a couple of years. I'm not talking just because you're 17 that you're an adult. I don't care what the state says. I'm talking about when you are taking care of yourself and you're not living at home, amen, and eating up all our grub. I'm talking about when you're making and cooking your own grub, now you're an adult taking care of yourself. See, you haven't entered into that yet, but very soon, you will be entered into that. You don't have to go into it with debt. See, that's why I encourage young people to give. Be a tither. You say, well, I ain't got no, do something to earn just a few dollars so you can tithe. See, the essential thing is that you do what God tells you to do, not look at how much the adults are making and their salaries and all that stuff. The essential thing is to be about the Father's business and be doing what he said. If you have to rake leaves, if you have to wash a car, if whatever, but do something so that you can be doing what God said. And God would love to take you into your adult life, getting your car, getting your apartment or your house or whatever, without the whole principle of being in debt. He would love to do that. But see, it's hard to get us to get young folks to believe like that because they're watching their parents. I'm not judging you tonight. I'm not, you know, but we've been called to a higher standard. And that's why we try to teach this way. Yes. At some point, you need to break the cycle.
Amen.
And then at some point, parents need to be teaching their kids that they don't have to ever be a part of that cycle.
That's right.
And at some point, the young folk need to enter into adulthood with God bringing things into their lives. Amen. Oh, we're talking about that blessed person, huh? That has revelation into the revealed will of God. Blessed. Woo, Jesus. I'm talking blessed. I'm expecting that. You know, when my secular work is done, man, I'm not depending on the pension. I'm not depending on the 401k. You know, I'm not depending on Social Security. I'm depending on what I've sowed over the last 37, 38 years. I want to see God show up and prove to me that he was going to do exactly what he said he'd do through my tithes and offerings. That's what I want to live off of. You know what I'd like to do? I would like to sow my pension, my 401k checks, and my Social Security checks. I'd like to sow them and live by faith. That's what I like to do. Talking about the revealed will of God, living in that way. Somebody say, Lord, we need to pray that prayer about opening my eyes some more. Let's pray that some more. Come on, let's do it again. Dear Lord, open my eyes that I might receive, that I might see wondrous things in your law. This is exciting because, see, when you realize what God can do, you don't have to be concerned about what the world is doing.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right.
Man, When you realize what God can do and you're willing to get connected with God in that way, let the politicians go ahead and spend all of that paper money. Let them go on and act foolish. Let them go on up and send the deficit out into outer space. Let the Chinese call all their notes. Let them call them. It don't make no difference to me what the world does. That doesn't affect my God. That doesn't affect my seed.
Amen.
Amen. This is supernatural.
Amen.
They're working in the natural.
That's right.
Woo, glory to God. I'm getting excited in here. Blessed, fortunate, and to be envied of the undefiled, the upright, truly sincere and blameless. You better look at that because upright means to be walking in the revealed will of God. Righteousness means doing things God's way. No wonder the devil put so much pressure on you about giving. Pointing out stuff that you obligated to pay. And try to make it so big. And make you feel so worried about it. You know, have you noticed? He likes to come around Thursday. and start working on you towards Sunday. Yeah, you know, about the time you get paid and it's time to look at paying tithe. See, he starts working about Thursday. just depending upon your pay cycle, whether it's once a month or whatever it is, you notice he'll start working just before. Yeah. Because he don't want you to get involved in doing the right thing, the upright thing. He don't want you to really be a hilarious giver. You know, hilarious giving is borderline with insanity. It is. Because you're looking at what God is telling you to do, and you're doing it and looking over there at your obligation and laughing in an insane manner. Because a sane person would say, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's foolish. That's insanity. And you're laughing because God said, yes, you can do it. See how quiet it got just then? You're not quite as insane as I am yet, but you're going to get there. Amen. You will get there. When you begin to see this, you'll get there. And you will put your trust. There ain't no sense in you putting your trust in the dollar. My Lord, you know, it's only worth a few cents. What you going to put your trust in that for? And if you're going to put your trust in the world system, you better get you another job. That one job ain't good enough. You better go on and get you another job, maybe two. Because you got to make up for the deficit on that dollar. You got to get something to multiply it so you can get it back up to where it was at least 75 cents. That's going to take three jobs. I'd much rather do this God's way. Because you kill yourself trying to live in the natural. Overworked, you know, fatigued, can't stay awake in church to hear what God is saying for working so much. Yeah. I'm serious, man. People are wearing themselves out trying to do it the natural way. See? But you see, Lord, if you open my eyes so I can see wondrous things in your law, if you will open my eyes, I will hear it, and then I will do it. I said, I will hear it, and I will do it. Because my seeing and my hearing are connected to my soul being converted. See, that soul has already established what it believes about money and about work, overtime, wages, whether or not they're fair in the wages that they're paying you and all that stuff. And you get all upset because that soul starts talking to you about all that stuff, you know. And your soul is supposed to be echoing what's in the Word of God. It's supposed to be echoing what's in the Word of God. It's supposed to be telling you what the Word said. See, that's why David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I command you to. See? You got to tell your soul what to do. Say, soul, memorize the Word of God. Soul, I command you to speak back to me. What saith the Lord? Amen. You can do that. The soul has been waiting on honors for years. It's had its way for so long. That's why we have folk that act like schizophrenics. It's had its way for so long, so it just acts however it wants to act. And it gets whatever pleasure it can get out of being crazy. And different personalities. It gets whatever it can get out of that, really. See? But it really was created to work with us in concert with our born-again regenerate spirit. Boy, this stuff is so good tonight. I'd travel miles to hear this. I have done it. I mean, I've gone to different places across the country to let's sit on the faith teachers like Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Myers and Bill Winston. I'll go again, too. Because this soul of mine gonna act right. Matter of fact, it's gonna act upright. Hallelujah. And you can't hear it from any and everybody. You got to pay a price to get this aligned in your spirit, with your soul, with your eyes, and with your hearing. You got to pay a price. You just can't listen to anybody, because faith comes by hearing. If you're hearing some old junk, it's going to mess you up. It's going to complicate what your soul has been commanded to do. Let me tell you a little something that'll help you to understand this. The angels hearken unto the voice of the word of God. And they respond and act on what the word says that comes out of your mouth and that comes out of the mouth of God. Right? Now, your soul is under the same kind of commandment. Right. Only it has to be converted. Angels don't have to be converted. They're created to do what God says. And if they don't do it, there's a harsh penalty for them. It's called hell. Some of them are reserved there already for not doing what he told them to do. Right. And the rest of them know that that's where they're going. That's right. They know it. They know that. They know there's no redemption for them. But your soul was created by God to be converted. But the mystery is, its conversion is not in God's hands, it's in yours. Now that you've been born again, you can save your soul. Woo, that's revelation now, it's revelation. Now that you've been born again, you're born again, regenerate spirit, if you will cooperate. And you see, the interesting thing about this is God uses your mind in connection with your born again spirit. Your born again spirit is going to be born again. You know, he's there. He's perfect. He's fine. Right? But your mind has to be filled with the things of God in order for you to do what the Spirit desires for you to do that lives in you. You got to use your mind. You have to have illumination, and revelation has to come to your mind. Your mind. You have to think on things above and not on things of the earth. You have to have the mind of Christ. And then you have to act out of the mind of Christ. And when you act out of the mind of Christ, as we have already demonstrated tonight in commanding your soul, then your soul will respond. Your soul is waiting to be brought into subjection to the Spirit. But he knows, like an unregenerate person, a person that's never been born again, he knows that as long as nothing is being done about it, he can run free. He can run free, and he can do whatever he wants to do, think what he wants to think, lust after whatever he wants to lust after, be prideful, arrogant, and bring all those things to your heart and your mind. And it does that to get you physically to act on it. Have you ever noticed that? Here you go. Jesus said in the prayer that he taught him to pray during that season, he said this: yield not unto temptation. Temptation didn't just come in your feelings, it comes to your mind. Right? Come on now. I mean, if lust came to you by a feeling and it didn't make any difference how you fulfilled your lust, you go hug a refrigerator. Or a light pole. You'd be like, "Woo! Look at that fine light pole." This stuff works in connection with each other. And the Word of God does the same thing. You have to have the mind of Christ. In other words, you need to know how to speak to your soul and command it to do certain things. Because the soul will cause you to do things that's wrong as long as it is in the unconverted state, even though you're born again. See? People are asking, why does bad things happen to good people? Well, let's quit asking that. Just forget about that. Why do good people do bad things? I'm saying, well, you know, this is a good one too. Why do born-again people do stupid things? Stupid. They're just stupid. Why you do that?
I don't know.
You know, your mind is connected with your hearing. Your hearing is connected with your seeing. It's all called perception. When those line up and they're operating like they're supposed to operate in the kingdom, and you are armed with revelation, and you realize you can command that soul, and you start commanding that soul like David did. Memorize the word of God, soul. When you speak to me, it better be the word of God. Do you hear me? See, there ain't nothing wrong with you talking to yourself. You know, there's people that think some people are just out of their mind because they talk to themselves. No, they're not. Not if they're doing this. See? You need to talk to yourself this way. Hallelujah. And then the soul will take those orders and begin to do what you tell it to do. Don't let your soul run rampant, unconverted, free to do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do it. Your soul doesn't even have the right to feel any way it wants to feel. Amen. It doesn't. God don't get sad on Mondays. He don't go, oh, Lord, it's Monday. Got to go back to work. I know that God rested on the Sabbath, but he don't complain about the first day of the week. He don't. He doesn't complain. He gets right back out there after it. Right? And goes right back to it because he got to take care of us. He got to take care of us. It's like, okay, Lord, I hope you got plenty of rest over the weekend because I need you now. It's Monday. Amen. I get up and remind him this is the day that the Lord has made. That's because he's on the job. He made the day. He's back on the job. Amen. Hallelujah. So the soul ain't got no right to be feeling any old way it wants to feel. It's got to feel the way I tell it to feel. Amen. I don't want to be sorrowful. I don't want to feel pitiful. Amen. I've got a CD, if any of y'all need a little encouragement in this, by Keith Moore, that says, it's called No More Sad Days. Amen. You want to listen to it, you just let me know. And you can listen to it, but you got to bring it back because somebody else might need to listen to it too. You'll get delivered of sadness. Amen. If you listen to that. Amen? All right now. Man, this is good, isn't it? Halfway through the scripture. Oh, Lord, your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Woo! It's just jam-packed with revelation. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. Jesus. Can't you hear chains dropping and ball pins rolling off like a bowling ball? Hallelujah. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Let's go back to the beginning so I can get to the latter part of it, okay? Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are the undefiled, the upright, truly sincere, and blameless. Now see, what got me was the upright. I didn't even get on the truly sincere. I don't think we're going to finish this scripture tonight. I don't think so. It's no sense in me fantasizing over getting to the end of that. Truly sincere. So now, I mean, already by now, what you have heard should have convinced you that you need to be truly sincere in doing this. No doubt about that. I mean, this is where we should be living. We should be truly sincere about what God wants to do here. See, And so if we're truly sincere, what happens next?
Blameless.
We're blameless. What are you blameless in? Because, you know, you can't, don't sit there and think about, well, I'm not committing fornication. Don't sit there and think about, I'm not committing adultery. You know, those things right there, you know, you shouldn't be doing those anyway. Right? Now, I didn't say that you weren't tempted to do it. I said you shouldn't be doing it. We're in a fallen world. So stuff does come around and try to incite stuff in us, you know. I mean, we're in a fallen world. So that's not what I'm talking about. That's why Jesus said, yield not to temptation. See, he said the temptation is coming. Come on. The tempter is in the world. He's the prince in the power of the air. Right? So we're not talking about that. Being blameless. Blameless means that one day, based on what you've heard, based on what you heard, God's going to say to you, well done, because you kept it, because you were faithful to do what you kept.
Glory.
See, blameless in this sense means what revelation you have received in this, you have been faithful to act on it. You have been faithful to receive it, first of all. You've been faithful to act on it, and you've made it a lifestyle, because he wants you to live like this. And when you go before God and God sees your track record that you were consistent, and even if you had some bubbles, you know, and some little things that happened, you didn't lose your revelation. You just got right back on track.
That's right.
Then he's going to say, well done.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about being blameless about.
Amen.
See, I done got delivered from drinking. I'm not going back to drinking. I've received the Holy Ghost, and it's far better than liquor.
Right.
Wine. All of those intoxicating drinks can't compare to the Holy Ghost. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Woo, I got that. And I'm getting filled right now, honey. Every time I go about doing the Lord's business, I get filled. I'm intoxicated now. I don't have to fall over in the floor because I'm intoxicated. I heard a man say it long ago, bless his heart. He said, when you're drunk in the world, you know, you can't, the man pulls you over and he says, walk that line. And you do everything. I mean, you can't do it because of the intoxication of the alcohol. But when you get filled with the Spirit, you can walk the line. You can walk the straight path. Hallelujah. See? Amen. All right. So, because I hear it, I receive it, I act on it, I'm blameless. That's what he means by being blameless. I'm blameless before God. I love that. In the way of the revealed will of God. Then he says, who walk, order their conduct, and conversation. So my conduct changes as well as my conversation.
Yeah.
Now that has to be, because if your conduct don't change,
right,
and your conversation don't change,
right,
people don't know what you believe.
Because
you go to church, but you cuss like a sailor. You go to church, but they see you doing stuff that doesn't agree with Christian principles. See? So your conduct has got to, and it will change when you hear it, receive it, right, and act on it. Your conduct will change. It will change. See? You won't have regret about giving your tithe or sowing your seed or giving extra. You know that the blessing is in the extra, don't you? I hope that you know that. I hope that you know that the blessing is not just on the tithe. I hope you know that. You see, when you go beyond and you're willing to step out beyond what you've been commanded to do as far as the tithe, and you go beyond just give, do you, when you come to church, do you bring it just your tithe, or do you bring a tithe and an offering? No, wait a minute now. Think about this. Because most of the time, when folk come to the altar to bring their gifts, you see them bringing an envelope. An envelope, not envelopes. Come on now. Or you see them bringing an envelope and cash. Right? See, we're tithe. We're supposed to give tithes and offerings. And offerings are varied. They're varied. Now, I'm not saying that because you brought a single envelope that you didn't designate that part of that was building fund and part of that was tithe, you know, and a part of that was offering. And a part of that was just to bless your pastor. And a part of it was for something else.
Right.
You can write a lot of stuff on them envelopes. Yeah, there's lines on there. Oh, yeah. Do you want to be blessed? Well, you just practice this now. It's the revealed will of God where the blessing comes. And when you get that revelation and you practice it, see, you change your conduct and then you change your conversation. You begin to say whatever agrees with the revealed will of God that you are now walking in. You start saying what agrees with that. See, don't change your conduct by, you know, now you got two envelopes or you got three envelopes, you know, and some cash. Your conduct's changed. But then you walk away from it and you get around somebody who's not living that way and they start talking about the economy and what the government's doing and how bad it is and woe be unto us and woe be unto our grandchildren and all of that stuff. Well, now your conversation's not lining up with what you just did in church. And what are you doing? You are undoing. You are undoing what you've sown. The angels are not only paying attention to what your conduct is, but the angels are listening to your voice.
Amen.
What you are saying. They hearken to the voice of the believer like they hearken to the voice of God. And they are made inactive many times by what we say, even though our conduct proves that we love God. They've been made inactive. Now, all you got to do is repent if you want to straighten that out, because the seed's still in the ground. He said it'd come up after many days. He said it comes up after many days. So you can repent. You got time to repent and make sure that you get your harvest. But you got to go to work. You got to go to work. Down in Florida, if they have weather that's really bad and they see freezes coming, do they wait until the freeze come? They'll go out there and they'll spray water all over that crop so that whenever the freeze come, it'll cause a freezing of a shell around the plant and preserve the plant instead of the natural freeze, which will get into the plant. And all that work to bring about that harvest still will bring forth the fruit.
Amen.
I said God's good.
Yes,
in case you didn't hear me say it. Woo, I said God's good. Woo, glory to God. So, your conduct and your conversation is very important. And he says, you got to walk. You got to order your conduct and your conversation in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord. The revealed word of God that comes to you, your conduct and your conversation has got to be ordered in that. Whatever God is revealing to you, your conduct and your conversation has got to be ordered in that. I mean, it costs you, because, you know, if you're still hanging out and you got friends out there that's not involved in this kind of a thing, you're going to come under attack. You start opening your mouth, changing your conduct. They're going to notice it. They're going to wonder what's wrong with you. Why are you talking like that now? Where's that coming from? Who told you that foolishness? Right? Because the things of God are foolishness unto the carnal-minded man. So they're going to say, where'd you get that foolishness? Right? And then you're going to have to be a true servant of God and stay true to what you have had revealed to you in the midst of that carnal-minded association that you got, or else they're going to rob you of what God has been revealing to you. So you got to walk in the whole of God's revealed will. Oh, we need to pray now. We need to pray now. Hallelujah. So just begin to pray this with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the precious and most wonderful name that is exalted above every name. We believe you tonight. We believe your word. We know that it's true. And we know that it can't fail. And so tonight we make the commitment to be true to your word, to be true to the revealed will of God as it comes to us by way of our conduct and by way of our conversation. Help us, Lord. Use whatever is necessary to remind us of what you have said and what you desire to do. We are taking our stand. We're on our watch to hear what you have to say. And so, Father God, in the name of your Son Jesus, we receive the grace and the ability to do just that. We believe you, we trust you, and we love you. And we will abide in this blessing safely, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, no matter what the naysayers say, no matter what the economy does. We are a part of your kingdom, and there is no recession. There is no depression. There is no lack. There is no want in your kingdom. The currency in your kingdom is incorruptible. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Be above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. We're the lender and not the borrower. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord God. Yes. Amen. Amen.